341, good episode, Colin. Andy here. Your Call of Cthulhu GM. Well, temporarily. Anyway, so longevity, replay value, yeah, I think these are part of it. What I would say actually that encapsulates all of that is depth. I would say your game can go for a long time if there's sufficient depth. I think we are all looking for depth in different ways in our games. A shallow game, sort of by its definition, is something quite surface level, probably more disposable. Something that's deep, it probably, you know, it's reaching different parts of your mind, different parts of your psychology, different parts of your, you know, personality, your soul, maybe.
Hello, I'm Colin Green, and you are listening to Spike Pit.
Well, that's a bit ominous. Andy Goodman's currently my GM? Doesn't sound too promising. Maybe he's going to kill another character soon. Perhaps my days of Cthulhu play at Andy's virtual table are numbered. Who knows? We'll have to listen in to Grizzly Peaks Radio to find out the fate of Badger in the Watchers of Warberswick Part 2. Oh, Shenanigans in Surrey, or whatever it's called. I've butted in rudely. Let's let Andy continue with his call-in. Some great stuff here. He's talking about depth. And I wouldn't normally butt in like this, but I do like to put something at the front of the show so that people get an idea of what to expect in the episode. Sorry about that, Andy.
And so there can be depth in many different ways. Obviously, there can be depth in the rules that you can, you know, learn new parts of the rules and bring them into play and enjoy noodling around with them, such as, for instance, the Notorious Chase rules in Call of Cthulhu 7th Edition or whatever. You know, different classes, different combat techniques, such as mass combat in OD&D, all of these things in the rules can actually give you depth that you want to explore. But then, of course, there's also depth in terms of the campaign that you're running. How intricate is the plot? How much can the players get involved? And then I think there's depth of character development. That seems to be the one that people are fixated on or have been talking about a lot. But I don't think that's such a huge one if there is depth in these other areas. And then I suppose the final one, which is something that I guess everyone intuitively knows, is how deep is your connection with your players, with the people that you play with? If it is deep, if you have a genuine friendship that goes beyond the game, I think that holds you together. And maybe that's why some games evolve into 3-year campaigns and others are just 3-week one-shots. I'm the classic 3-week one-shot person running them. But I've been very lucky that I've played run and played in a number of multi-year campaigns. And I feel so much more involved in those, even though I enjoy shorter games. I'm loving running Call of Cthulhu for you guys, the 80s White Dwarf stuff for you and Scott Dorwood and Barney and Spencer. But they're not deep. As I've said before on my podcast, those scenarios that we're playing are really throwaway. There's nothing to them. But the fact that we've come back for a second one, I think comes from, well, one, the fact we've enjoyed playing it together, probably. But I think there's, you know, the depth has actually come from your guys' characterizations. That has created all of these other narratives that were just not there. And to be honest, I've embellished quite dramatically. In the first one, more or less everything was bolted on and made up sort of on the fly, but sort of a little bit planned. And also in this one, but I'm not going to tell you what. In the first one, it was all the manor house and the gigantic conspiracy. There was none of that in the actual original, but it just seemed inevitable. We needed something like that rather than just a hole in the ground with fishmen. That ain't much fun, is it, really?
we're still talking about the long game. What Gwynyards would perhaps refer to as a campaign. I mean, I don't even know if the rising stars of the RPG world even refer to this type of stuff as a campaign anymore. But I don't really care. What I do care about is this great line of thought that Andy's brought to my attention, and he's speaking about depth. Of course, we're looking for depth. Great explanation and ponderings around this topic. It makes me think a little bit of layers. I've talked about layers before. I love to see that layering. And you can layer on all sorts of things, of course. The complexity of the rules. All the things that Andy talked about. The character background. And we are. I think we are. And we are looking for that depth. Personally, I like a mixture of lots of different things. And layering them together. Crossing the streams of different things. Creating funny little complexities. Little relationships. And sometimes I really like the simple things that go on in a game. My daughter is a great example of this. She just liked finding hirelings and getting them to join the group, and then going on a dungeon crawl and working out, you know, how much she needed to pay them or get their stuff and kind of like look after them in an organisational way. And over even a few sessions, she started to really kind of get to know some of them hirelings, and she kind of prided herself on her organisational ability. We joke about it in our house. But I do believe it helped her engage with the game. Other players, they, like my son, he likes to go away and look at the books. Every single day, I guarantee you, before he goes to school, he's going to come to me with something he's watched on YouTube or he's looked up in the Monster Manual, and it's going to be, oh, do you know, a copper dragon does this, a green dragon does that. I'm going to get this pet for my character and blah, 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 blah. He absolutely loves it, and it's depth. And, of course, you can have this depth of a simple game. Like Andy says, you create the depth with a different technique. You bring it into the story, bring it into the adventure, the conspiracies. Jason Hobbs recently was talking about the conspiramid. I forget who. The Dracula dossier? No. Pelgrane Press, I'm pretty sure, came up with it. But this conspiramid, that's, you know, that's got some depth to it. It's everywhere. It's everywhere in games. And perhaps isn't a word or concept that springs immediately to mind. So big thanks to Andy for that one. He's got me thinking about a few things there. And if you want to add into this conversation, you know what to do. Just make the call in. You can email me on spikepitpodcast@gmail.com. Moving slightly off the topic, but there is a link. I've got a call now from Jason Connolly, Nerds RPG Variety Cast, and he's picking up on a bit of an older topic. I've had this call in for a little while. Look, it'd be easier if I just play it.
Hey, Colin, Jason here. Interesting last episode. As far as what you finished out with Evil Jeff and, you know, when is a game not that game or whatever, honestly, for your own group, I don't think it matters. I think the idea of how much effort you put into house ruling a game matters to the point what Joe's talking about, where your time could be better spent elsewhere. So, you know, there may be another system that does what you want if you're spending a ton of time house ruling. You know, if you got 20 pages of house rules, that may not be the system for you, right? But as far as it being good or bad, I don't see an issue with it. Where it becomes a problem is when you're pitching that game at a convention. So, you know, if you put up your sign at a convention, hey, I'm running OSE, and then you got 20 pages of house rules for a four-hour session, I think that can be problematic. I guess I could have summed that up by saying, keep your house rules at home, right? Keep the house rules in the house. But, yeah, just my thoughts on that topic. But interesting podcast, interesting to hear people's thoughts. And I look forward to your next one. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to Barbarians Lemuria in the near future. So I'm sure the listeners will hear more about that soon. Take care.
Well, I can happily report that we had our game of Barbarians of Lemuria. You can check out a full after-action report on Jason's podcast, of course, Nerds RPG Variety Cast. And I don't really disagree here or anything with what Jason's saying, but it's got me thinking. It's got me thinking a couple of things. Firstly, I'm wondering, am I a little bit fatigued with all this sort of... What in some ways you could view as a bit of gatekeeping. The gatekeeping rears its head, its ugly head, whenever you start talking about how you're changing like a known system. Despite the fact that all of these rule books encourage you to be creative and do your own thing, there's always some wise guy that wants to tell you you're having bad, wrong fun. And a rather nifty way, I think, just to avoid all that, is just play your own game. Take some ideas, mechanisms that you like, mash them together, make up your own games. And I talk about it quite a lot. I hack smaller, simpler games. And I have a lot of fun doing it. And you kind of can guarantee you're the expert of that particular game. Admittedly, you're still getting into a discussion perhaps about your design choices. But somehow that's just different and I enjoy that. It's when fans of a game get a bit rabid and specifically start telling me what I can do and what I can't do, that it just rubs me wrong and it seems really unnecessary. We're all just taking these games in our own direction. And this is my second point. I've got to say, I've no great desire to run a game at a convention. I mean, all this has been knocked on the head with the pandemic as it is. And I enjoy a convention. I enjoy to sit down with, well, it's normally kind of my buddies. I like to meet new people, of course. The other thing, of course, about conventions is something that John Large and Hannah were talking about on Red Dice Diaries, the kind of the negative stuff that goes on and sort of like some of the kind of the scandals and the outrage that can crop up. And I'd rather just steer clear all of that. So if you're someone that runs conventions games at conventions, I've got to take my hat off to you. I think you're a bolder person than I. I think for me to want to do that, things would have to drastically change And realistically, I can't see that happening. Perhaps my ideas will change, but I get nervous enough just running for friends and family. So the thought of a convention, nah. So my house rules, I can assure Mr. Connolly, are in no danger of leaving the house, unless maybe they creep online for an online game, in which case I'm sure anybody playing will be quite comfortable. And I agree, any changes you make to an existing system don't want to be onerous in their length, and probably would be a good idea to circulate them a little bit before the game if you think people need to digest and get that stuff on board.
And that, as they say, is a wrap. The end to another Into the Pit episode. Thanks to everybody who called in. Big thanks to the Pit crew, the folks over on Spite Pit Patreon. And last but not least, a big thanks to you, the listener, for taking a bit of time out of your day to listen to old Spite Pit. Take care, and I'll catch you later.